Yes.
What you're describing to me has some resemblance with piti. It's exciting, like it's energetic, and it's like, for example, samadhi, getting samadhi. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is nice. You're successful in your endeavor. And I was thinking, like, how would that relate to getting your desire fulfilled? Would that also be like a sense of piti? It's not peaceful, like it can be agitating, but it's also like exciting and energetic, and the result of that could be sukha or sort of peace. So how would you relate to what I just shared?
Well, it's a good point. One of the frequent comments about piti, that rapture, is that it's not very peaceful and that it's got a kind of charged, exciting, there's a gratification that can come with it, like, wow, there's quite a sort of bright, positive, charged quality to it. But then by paying attention to that or feeling that, the physicality of it, it's like, oh, this isn't very peaceful. So in the teachings of the great Ajahns, often they'll mention that rapture is part of the meditation process, but it's not very peaceful, and it's not helpful to dwell in that or to feed that quality of piti on its own or to relish that. It's a stage that the mind can go through, and it's much more helpful for that to ripen into sukha, contentment, and that much more quiet quality of fulfillment or well-being, which is more mature. So it's pretty much always represented that sukha comes after piti. It's like a much more mature quality. Sukha is not as exciting or as like wow-ish as the electricity of rapture, of piti. It's more peaceful and it's more helpful in terms of supporting insight. And then ekagata, one-pointedness, is then what follows on beyond equanimity, and one-pointedness is what follows on beyond sukha. Sukha's still got a kind of emotional, a kind of tangible emotional tone to it, kind of, it's more peaceful and more stable than piti, rapture. That emotional tone of it, the kind of warmth or quality of easefulness or comfort, that's something that then falls away at the next sort of stage. And the characterization of fourth jhana is equanimity and mindfulness, or equanimity and one-pointedness, the upekha and ekagata. If I'm remembering my points correctly. Any comments on
that? Yeah, so getting what one wants on a sort of sensory, sensual, worldly basis, it can be quite satisfying. But then the tendency, I think, is that if it's not really aligned with Dhamma, it starts feeding into a process of desire cycle. More refined, different, better. Whereas if it's aligned with Dhamma, the trajectory will be much more toward relinquishment or peace or more subtlety than just that sense with piti would be inclining more to. If you're feeding it with the aspect of Dhamma or it's aligning itself with Dhamma, it'll tend to quite naturally turn to more peaceful, turning to relinquishment, turning to settling.
Just having that energy running through the body, that can be quite addictive. And so it was one of the things comes up in leading meditation retreats, and I mean in the Sangha as well. Often on silent meditation retreats, then that's something that's quite an issue for some people, that they're really addicted to the energy of rapture, just as if it was like to Red Bull energy drinks or espresso coffee, you know. It's just like they can't wait to get in the meditation hall to get their shot. And then also because the energetic effects, they support wakefulness, so they can mean that the mind is much more alert through more hours of the day. It's not intrinsically unwholesome, but if the mind takes hold of it, it can be something that people really get addicted to and want to just keep perpetuating because of the charge they get from it, just like being addicted to coffee or Red Bull or any kind of thing that electrifies the system, charges up the system. And so it can be quite a stopping point. It's one of those pieces of advice that some people don't want to hear sometimes, like that what you're experiencing and what you spent hours and hours developing and rejoicing in, it's like, yeah, best if you can let go of that and get beyond it. It's like, no, you can't take this away from me. There can be a strong sense of happiness and pleasure, fulfillment. You know, I'm doing well with my practice. This is really, really great because I've got all this energy, all this brightness, and it feels kind of exciting, interesting, and charged. The mind is labeling that as an intrinsic good, and then it's become an object of addiction or a means of addiction.